Amen. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the presence of your Spirit that is evident in this place. We thank you for his power. And as we go into your word this evening, I ask by his ability you grant utterance, that I speak as your oracle, that your word goes forth in simplicity, but with accuracy and in power. That light will shine forth in our hearts, and that Jesus will be glorified as our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, all of you, first of all. It's wonderful to be in the city of Abeokuta. I'm an Ijebu man. So I'm in my state. All right. Let me say something about light problem. I remember when we started our church and we were young. You know, the Bible says you shouldn't despise these are small beginnings. So we had this Indian generator. I don't know whether you know it, that you wind like, oh, bah! And then you'll be hopping around the whole place. So sometimes the light will go. And when the light goes off, midweek service at night, I will preach in darkness. All right, preach in darkness. And after some time, it happened two or three times. So the head of technical came and said, Pastor, when you preach in darkness, it's more powerful. He said, so we are contemplating that when service starts, after worship, we'll put off the lights. Because you speak from your heart. That's what I said. All right, then, amen. All right, this evening, I'm going to teach. All right, that's what I'm going to do this evening. Let's start from the book of Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, I want to read the account of the woman with the issue of blood. And I want us to bear in mind, scriptures I don't have to quote, I just say them from my head, that Peter said we've got to give ourselves continually through the ministry of the word and prayer. Prayer and the ministry of the word. And I want to speak on praying and the ministry of the word. Now in Mark chapter 5 and verse 25, it says there was a certain woman that had an issue of blood 12 years. And she had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And then the change started here. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Now, so she heard of Jesus. And whatever message was preached to her, she came to this conclusion based on what she heard. That if I will touch the hem of his garment, she said, right, came apprise and touched the hem of his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. Now, she had spent all that she had, 12 years, and she came to this conclusion, having heard of Jesus, that if I will just touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. And she went, and the Bible says straight away, as she touched him, the fountain of her blood was dried up. Now, let me just say something. When she said, if I will touch the hem of his garment, that word said there is in, she's like she said, is in present continuous tense. So what happened that she kept saying to herself, if I will touch the hem of his clothes, I shall be made whole. And then the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And then Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And then the disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee," which means you see the multitudes all touching you, and you are asking, "Who touched me?" And Jesus didn't know who touched him. So this was the faith of the woman at work. Are you following what I'm saying here? Jesus didn't know that somebody was expressing this faith. The woman, by her own faith, touched Jesus. Jesus wasn't aware, but he felt virtue had gone out. And then Jesus looked around and said, "Who touched me? Who among you touched me?" And then the woman now came, all right, and knowing what was done in her, she came and fell before him and told him all the truth. In other words, everything that happened from what she heard. And then Jesus said, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Now I'm going to use the process of this woman from hearing about Jesus to saying to herself, "If I will just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." Now, why was this woman saying it to herself as she walked towards Jesus? She was making the declaration, and it's on show this evening, but she still realized that she had to make contact with the person. And she kept saying it to herself. Now you must understand why. As this woman looked at Jesus, and multitudes were thronging on Jesus, sick people were touching Jesus, nothing was happening. People who had conditions in their body were thronging on Jesus, and nothing was happening. So it was not just the touch. There is a way you touch. Where I'm going to is that you might see multitudes praying and nothing is happening. But there is the prayer that releases virtue and power. And I want to look at the conditions that must be satisfied in order to make contact with the living God. And when she made contact, Jesus said virtue has gone out. So this woman, you can understand this, was coming to Jesus Christ. Now let me tell you something. If she had mentioned it to the apostles that she wanted to get healed by touching Jesus, they would have told her, "Can't you see everybody?" Peter will have dissuaded her from touching. That is not going to work. So you can understand what she was doing. As she was going, "If I will touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." Based on what she had heard, "If I will touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. If I will touch the hem of his garment," as she was going, "I shall be made whole. If I will touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." And because this woman maintained that declaration, which is a type of meditation, until she made contact, at the point where she made contact, she was in faith. And so there was a transference of power. Now understand this. Jesus was coming to the disciples. The Bible records the wind was boisterous. That's the starting point. And the winds were blowing and they were toiling against it. And they saw Jesus coming from afar off. And the Bible says they were scared and Jesus said, "It is I, do not be afraid," walking on water. Now the winds were blowing. And Peter said to Jesus, "If it's you, bid me to do what? Come." The Bible didn't say the wind stopped blowing. With the boisterous wind, Peter heard Jesus and stepped out. But the Bible says when he turned and looked at the wind, he became afraid and began to sink. So there are people that enter into prayer that what is going on the outside has contaminated their faith. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Which means they have begun to sink. When they make that contact, it cannot keep them in that miraculous realm. Now, let's get this straight. The wind had nothing to do with Peter walking on water. So he got distracted by what did not count for anything. I mean, if you want to test it, you can go to your room today to see whether the wind affects walking on water. There is no wind. Lock all the windows. Just pour water on your bathtub and say, because there is no wind, I will walk. You will understand that what sustains a man on water has nothing to do with the wind. So he put his eyes and allowed himself, that's what Jonah called lying vanities. You pay attention and give power to things that don't have power in themselves to influence your destiny in any way. Now, so I want to get into this. In terms of praying effectively and understanding that Paul said in Galatians, he that worketh miracles among you, how is he doing it? It says by the hearing of faith. So there is what is called the hearing of faith, which that woman with the issue of blood operated in that brought about the miraculous. Now, let me start out by saying this. An important subject that has to do with faith, this is what I'm looking at, and the practical reception of that, this is what I'm going to speak about, which God has blessed us with in Christ. In other words, we've been blessed in Jesus. We are now looking at the steps for the practical reception of those things. Now, when we say practical reception, we are saying that to appropriate something from God is not to gain something new. It is to set aside for our practical possession something that already belongs to us in Christ. In other words, how do we begin to set aside? We all know we've been blessed with unsearchable riches in Christ. But how do we begin to set aside for our practical possession every day these riches that we have in Christ? In order to appropriate, which is to set aside for our practical possession, there are two things that are necessary. Number one, two essentials. So first of all, see what is ours in Christ. And then number two, to become aware of our need for it. In other words, anytime a born-again Christian enters into a place of need, of pressure, the Holy Spirit is simply saying, it is time to set aside for your practical possession something that you have in Christ Jesus. That's the meaning. On these two factors rest our ability to appropriate, which means to reach out by steadfast faith and receive what belongs to us in Jesus. The first thing we need to understand, and I'm going to explain these things, is the knowledge of the things that have been provided for us in Christ. And then the second thing is the needs in our environment through which God, through a supply of the Spirit of Jesus, in other words, His grace, will make it possible for Christ to be magnified in us. Now, let me say this. It is appropriation, which is setting aside for a practical possession these things that really test us. This is what we are called to do. Many stop at the admiration of truth. Do you get what I'm saying here? We talk about new creation realities and we admire it. We don't appropriate it. You look at Daniel, who was in an inferior covenant, but his boss at work had a question. He said, "Give me 3 days, I will come back, I will have appropriated the wisdom for that situation." Are you following what I'm saying here? So what God does in his faithfulness is that he creates pockets of need in our environment that it will take only the supply of the Spirit to solve that particular problem. Which means it's only the person that can receive a supply of the Spirit that can solve that problem. But we stop at admiration of the truth and teaching the truth. Let me tell you this. When Jesus said you will be witnesses, he wasn't saying you'll be preachers, you'll be proof producers. The word witness means you're a proof what? Producer. In other words, when Nicodemus came by night, he said, "Rabbi, no man can do what? Do these things. Not no man can teach these things." He called him Rabbi and said, "No man can do these things that you are doing except God be with him." So it's about appropriation that tests us. So two things are there. Number one, a man understands that I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Number two, he gets it. That every time I come into a situation where there is pressure, it is an opportunity, to use that word, to download from heaven some portion of my unsearchable riches and to make it manifest. So that, as they said of Daniel, Joseph, the Spirit of God dwells in you, an excellent spirit. What do I mean by this? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And God had to bring Paul to understand this. 2 Corinthians and chapter 12. Verse 7. Paul said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given unto me a thorn in my flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me." So Satan, a messenger of Satan means Satan sent the person. Do you get what I'm saying there? God can send, when they say messenger of Satan, it means Satan sent the person. A messenger of Pastor Shola means a person that responds to the errands he gives him. So God didn't do this for Satan. But in this covenant, whatever Satan does to try to stop you, God uses it to push you to another realm. That's why the Bible says, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Listen to what I'm saying here. I studied this word today, I just saw it. When Jesus said it's a hard thing for you, Paul, to kick against the pricks there was an instrument there with a sharp end that the shepherd used to use to God and all the animals. And what happened was that if one rebelled and wanted to kick, when he kicked, what they were using to move will enter into the flesh of the person. Which means for a Christian, anytime they kick, you go deeper. Which means the thing enters in. So it's better for Satan. Let me tell you the best thing you have done for Jesus. Just leave Jesus alone. Because the Bible says, had he known, he would not have crucified. So when the messenger of Satan sent, and this is how many times Christians get irritated, Paul was irritated, and he said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that he might depart." And God said, "My grace," this is how you enter grace, "is sufficient for thee." He said, "Listen, For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul said, I get it now. What I've been praying that should not God take it away from me. He said, most gladly I now take pleasure in these things. In other place, Paul understood that based on what God has done for us in Christ, in order for it to be manifest on the outside, there must be pressure. So anytime the enemy puts what? Pressure. That's why if you look at it, remember that the Gentiles might receive the blessing of Abraham. Anywhere the blessing of Abraham came into operation, which is the Spirit, there was pressure in the environment. In other words, Abraham, there was pressure. There was no child. When he was releasing Isaac, you know what Abraham did? He called all the sons of the concubines, gave all of them the money, the property, and sent them far away. Isaac must have looked at Abraham. What is left for me? He said, here is the blessing. He went out. When did the blessing kick in? There was famine in the land. When did the blessing kick in? When they were struggling over wealth, the blessing hadn't kicked in. When they said, go to the bad well, then the Spirit kicked in. When Jacob was going out, his father was rich, but he went out with nothing. He entered into the house, all right, there of Laban there, and he looked around and the blessing kicked in. And he said, I have learnt by experience. If you read it in the Hebrew, I have learnt by consulting with the occultic powers. That, listen, if you touch that guy in this company, you are gone. Then Jacob also became rich. The person in whom the blessing kicked in went out with nothing. Pressure always makes a demand on supply. Are you following what I'm saying here? That's why Paul said we are pressed on every side. The pressure is that the excellence of the power might be seen to be of God and not of us. So don't ever despise pressure. If you understand this thing, when there are bills to pay, it's time to rejoice. If you understand this thing, that's what frustrates Satan. Which means we send somebody on an errand, he goes back. He says, well, that guy, what was he doing? The minute he saw our operation, he started laughing. He began to sing. He started rejoicing. They said, but he was supposed to start praying and bombarding heaven to remove it. He didn't. He was rejoicing that he was there. Let me tell you, there's a story here. And this is how what is loaded inside you comes out. Listen, in John Hopkins University, they had an experiment. They put insects, and they had studied these insects for decades. So they wanted to find out how these insects, the process of dying. So they put them in a beaker, they're a massive one, put a hole on top for air, and put a small plant. Because they fed on plants. And said, once they finish eating this plant, then under the microscope, we will see how they will die. So when the plant finished, then they started examining them carefully to understand the process of death. But as they were examining, they noticed something they had never seen. These creatures started changing their form. After some time, they said, the insect, they called them, they became winged creatures. They grew wings, flew out of the place. They had never seen those insects behave that way until there was pressure of death. Hear what I'm saying? That resurrection power kicks in. Are you following what I'm saying here? Take a Christian that understands this message. Cut off all the supplies from him. The Holy Ghost kicks in. Do you get what I'm saying? That is, the Holy Ghost suddenly will kick in. Which means you cut everything. You know when the Bible says you walk through the valley of the shadow of death? Death means, alright, you are losing relationships, you are losing things. It says, I will fear no evil. Which means the Holy Ghost is going to kick in. Are you following what I'm saying here? Alright? So that happened there. So the Spirit of God, alright, comes in when there is that kind of pressure. So the demand causes the supply all right, to become visible. Now, I want to show the process quickly here. Using the Word of God in practice now and praying in order to produce that kind of thing. First of all, let's go to Philippians chapter 4. 7:05. All right, so I finish on time, wherever. Don't ever forget, if they invite you to preach, stick to time. Are you following what I'm saying here? Even if the Holy Ghost is moving you, you say the Holy Ghost is moving you. Stick to what? Time. Never tell the host pastor, can I have 15 more minutes? Can I have 15 more minutes? Can I have? Don't do that. Particularly, it's the first time they called you to preach. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because some people don't understand protocol. There was a time Pastor Matthew Ashman was preaching for me. It's not the first or second time. And people were shouting, go on, go on. I said, keep Pastor for Jubank anymore. You know, those you people, they won't call me. He understood. Are you following what I'm saying? I know a strong man that was preaching for Copeland. He kept going on. In 19, or was it, when we go for government? Maybe 2002 or so. I told my friend, it's his last time. He said, Pastor, can you say that? These men are close. I said, watch. 7 years later, I said, Pastor, I've checked. They've never called him back. Are you following what I'm saying? If you get carried away, you'll be carried away. All right. So please, they tell you. But this is not minister's confess. All right. I just need to share that. Philippians 4 here. All right? No matter how they greet you when you enter. Without you, this meeting, just stick to time. Are you following what I'm saying? I was in a place, Joyce Meyer, somebody was speaking for a solid person. She looked at her, 45 minutes, she dropped the microphone. She said, I was looking at my time. If it went 47 minutes, that would have been his last time on a rooftop. The spirit of a prophet. Philippians chapter 4 here, quickly. And verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing. So you find yourself in this situation like this. Be careful for what? Nothing. The word careful means don't entertain any thought of anxiety. Don't be anxious about anything. Okay, are you following what I'm saying here? Right? The issues of your life don't come out of heaven, they come out of your heart. If you entertain anxiety, it is from your heart. It comes out. You understand it? The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the hearts. Are you following what I'm saying here? It is not necessarily the will of God that comes to pass in your life. But it's necessarily what your heart is filled with that will come to pass. So the idea in meditation is to fill your heart with the will of God so that the will of God is to pass. Are you following what I'm saying? You meditate because your heart is the production center of your life. Let me go on here. So, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. I know many a times you don't do this. In every, not in some things, everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you are going into something, have you made your request known to God concerning that? You know, I can come and preach here without making any request to God for what should happen when I preach, you know. And the message will be anointed. Do you get what we're saying here? When they said, as grant unto us utterance. You understand it? That we might speak the word boldly. They didn't stop there. That by the stretching forth of your hand, signs and wonders will be done. When you look at it after some verses, the Bible says, and signs and wonders. It is what you pray you get. But it also says something about prayer here. Because many of us as Christians, we have generic prayers that do not have any specific requests. We are not asking for anything in specific terms. We're going to life with no request being made known, which means we are not working together with God. It goes on and says this. Now, note what he says here. Pastor Shola quoted a scripture at the beginning. Three things constitute the kingdom: righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. He says, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep. That word means to mount as a garrison around your heart, to protect it. Because the results are coming from your heart. Alright? Shall keep your heart and mind. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true. Because Paul knows how prayers, answers to prayers manifest. He said, think, which means it's coming from this place. So your heart must be filled with the right stuff. Alright? But it's important first of all for us to know that we make our request known unto God. Now go to James chapter 4. And verse 1. It says, from whence cometh the wars and the fightings among you? Come they not from your lust that were in your members? You lust and have not, and then you kill, which means somebody wants to get, and then he's trying to get what another person has. And you cannot obtain. You fight and war, and you cannot, because what did he say? You ask not. Which means, have you gone to God in prayer and asked? Now, this is how God showed me, and catch what I'm about to say about prayer and appropriating the blessings of God. And I want to get into something where a lot of word and faith people are making the mistake, is that when you see a prayerful person, the tendency is that he's not a real faith person, that word guys don't pray this long. Please, are you following what I'm saying? Alright. Don't ever forget something. It is a fine combination of two that produces results. For anybody who wants to step into what God is doing next in the earth, it is a combination. The word of faith, prosperity, this recent movement, is just as maybe 80 years old. Before that, the evangelicals have been preaching. Do you understand what I'm saying? The first people that got the word of faith understood that the way to appropriate all the teachings of the evangelical is to put the word in your mouth. So it is a mixture of the evangelical movement with the Pentecostal movement that will characterize the new wave. Mark what I'm saying. The character of those people, are you following what I'm saying here? But let me get back to what I'm saying. It says here that it says, make your request. Now, what is it that make your request known unto God in terms of praying here? Listen, this is what happens when we say we have such a riches and inheritance in Christ. If a person is working in a massive multinational, the multinational understands that, listen, we must have a warehouse or a place where we store. Right, because our people came, and we don't want it to be that when they begin to work and something finishes, that's when they understand, and then we are now going to. So they already have a warehouse. They've stored all forms of stationery there. They've stored all forms of things, office parts of office equipment, and all of that. But those things are in the storehouse, and do you know how they move? When somebody who is seated at his desk comes to a point where his paper finishes or his ink finishes, he now makes his request known, knowing that that storehouse has an abundance. He sends an email confidently, knowing that in a matter of minutes it is going to be on his desk, which means he has to make the request. And if you study God, you'll find out that it seems like God steps back until somebody prays. He saw the nation of Israel being oppressed. He stepped back until he said, I heard the groanings and their cry. Until he hears somebody report, then he steps in. Without prayer, God doesn't step in. So somebody makes the request, no, you pray that. And then from the abundance, so this is what happens. If I have 35 million in my bank account and I want to buy this monitor, I have an abundance, all right, as compared to this monitor which they need. But if I get to the shop, I still have to do a transaction that releases from the bank account into that place in order to take possession of that. So when he says make your request, he's saying which portion of this unsearchable riches do you want? Therefore, the man who is walking in abundance is not carrying the abundance around and showing it. He is conscious of the unlimited supply. Do you understand it? In other words, Jesus didn't have to carry all the food on his head to say that I'm prosperous. He knew that, listen, I'm prosperous because I have unsearchable there. If there's a demand to eat, I send the email and heaven brings it. So the message of abundance is not the car I drive, it's the consciousness I have. Are you following what I'm saying? There is no landed property you bring me to that I'll be threatened. That's abundance. Which means I can't be here because I do not have the ability. Do you get what I'm saying here? That we don't go there because God didn't send us. Do you understand this? So you can see a simply dressed man who is walking in eternal wealth. Are you following what I'm saying? It was a mistake, that's what I'm saying. That when you understand it from the evangelical thought, you'll find out that they appeared simple. We thought they didn't have access to things. Do you get what I'm saying? You don't have to drive in with 7 cars to show. In fact, what it means that there's a problem. But a man walking in abundance, if they need 7 cars somewhere, he says, just give me 2 weeks. I want to appropriate it into my heart. From my heart, I'm going to get the 7 cars to you. So how do you do that? Now, this is what I want to show here. Through the word and praying the word. Hear what I'm saying. Jesus said, and this is the revelation, in John chapter 5, search the scriptures. All right? He said, but you make a mistake. For you think in them, you have eternal life. Which means, once I know the scriptures, I have the manifestation. No. The fact that you can explain the scriptures doesn't mean you have the life. I want to show you the difference between the tree of knowledge and the tree of life. He said, you search it. He said, the mistake is that you think in them you have eternal life. He said, but what they do is they testify of me. Now, you should carry that testimony to me and pray it. He said, we'll give you the life inside that scripture. So let me tell you where the faith movement made a mistake. The woman with the issue of blood received the testimony of Jesus. She understood, I have to make contact with the person. I can't stand away from the person and repeat, I'm healed. Do you understand what I'm saying here? I say I am healed to keep myself in faith. So that when I enter to make contact, there is a transference. Not that my confession produces it. It is Jesus that produces it. This is the mistake. We have felt that it was her repeating it that made it happen. She was saying it to keep herself in faith. So that when she touched Jesus, it won't be a touch of fear. It won't be a touch of unbelief. It's a touch of certainty. That's why Jesus put 11:23 before 24. Whosoever shall say and will not doubt. He said, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever thing when you pray, which means the confession is to be carried into prayer. But the issue is that we search. And we think that once we have the testimony of Jesus, we've searched it, we have the life. He says, they testify of me. In fact, you know what Jesus said to the Jews that believed on him? He said, if you continue in my word, which means regardless of appearance, you continue. You let my words abide in you. He said, you will know truth. Who is a person? And the truth will set you free. So, in John chapter 15, Jesus put it this way. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, it doesn't stop there. Words there are rhema, spoken word. You are making the declarations. He said, then you will ask what you will, and it shall be done. He said, herein is my Father glorified, and you bring forth much fruit. So the fruit in your life is a product. You know what we're saying here? When you read the scriptures, you find the testimony of Jesus is God who is at work in you both to will, but also to do. So when you find the will, you pray it to him. For he says, if we ask anything according to his will, this is the confidence that we have, he hears us. When he hears us, he does. But what happens is that we find the will, and sometimes we try to do the will. That's why he says there's war and fighting. All right? There's war and fighting. So you want to do the will instead. So when Moses discovered God's will, and he was with him, he now tried to do it. It's God that saved him. He will have destroyed his ministry. 10 years to the time, it entered his heart. He came back 40 years later. God told Abraham 400 years. It was on the 430th year. And how did he get it? Because I don't want to go there because I want to get something. Stephen said, Moses thought how the nation of Israel will understand that how God by his hand, his own hand. But after some time, he repeated and said, Moses realized how God by the hand of the angel which appeared unto him in the bush. In other words, folks, are you saying that if Moses had gone by himself with his wisdom, did he know there was a Red Sea between them? You will get to the Red Sea and you will know that you are stuck. The Bible says God came down and said, I am sending you. For somebody who wants to do ministry, there's a time God calls and there's a time God sends. The difference is you in prayer birthing it. If you don't, that God calls and anoints, you will see men as trees. You know when Jesus anointed? He was seeing men as what? Trees. You will know you are anointed, but the vision will be doing like this. What's going on? What's happening? Jesus said, you know what's happening? Wash in the pool called Sent. He said, I now see clearly. Jesus said, not when I called you. He said, when I did what? Sent you. You know, there was a time he called them that they were with him. There's a time he sent them. Between the revelation and the sending is fellowship with the person. So what do you do? So again, close. The woman with the issue of blood, head of Jesus. This is the process I'm saying. Then she kept saying, if I will just touch the hem of his garment, if I will just touch the hem of his garment. So you receive the word of God. And then Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So you allow those words to abide in you. Right? That's what you've got to do, to take your eyes offline vanities and begin to allow the word to abide in you. To abide in you. Now let me share something here. I'll share two things. And they are medical related. One day, somebody I knew had a balance problem. When he would walk, he had this balance problem, right? So we met this doctor, he was in a foreign country. And I said to the person, the doctor was talking to us, and he said to the chap,
He tested him, told him to do something. And then he said, there's really no problem. But I got something. You know, Paul said, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He says, but how can they call except they do what? Believe. How? Which means not possible. Can they believe except they hear? Now remember the woman with the issue of blood heard of Jesus. Because people rush into prayer. And I've said this before. I saw somebody always preach about this when they were playing Nations Cup and it was semi-final, I think Congo versus South Africa, and then had to go to penalties. And then I saw, and the commentator said, oh, this man who is the coach of the South African team seems to be a very religious man. He's calling on his God in prayer. And I looked at the screen and I saw he was praying in tongues. Born again Christian, Holy Ghost filled. And my heart sank. You know why? I knew what he was doing would not work. Are you following what I'm saying? Because you can't call on God except you believe. You can't believe except you have heard. Where did he hear that they will win that match? Where? Who preached any message that guaranteed? Because they are born again too on the side of Congo. So what is the problem? Who guaranteed it? So he was praying in tongues. I said trouble today. They pulled the ball down. They missed all their own. Congo scored all theirs. He says, how can they, except they do what? Hear. The man who was born crippled heard Paul speak. By the speaking there, something entered him. He says, he that worketh miracles, he does it by the hearing of it. That hearing is in present continuous tense. Follow this. He didn't hear, he's hearing. I want to show you how he does it. So he says, how can they hear except there's a preacher? He says, how can they preach except they be what? Sent. Now to mean sent here, and that's why some of you, if you didn't do it before this meeting, do it tonight. When somebody, Jesus said, were there not many widows in Israel? How come he was only sent? He was only sent, which means as I'm preaching now, everybody is hearing, but I'm sent to some people. The people I'm sent to are the people that asked God before they came to this meeting. As Pastor Poju start speaking, let him direct words, grant him utterance that this matter I am facing, he will speak words that will answer it. Do you get what I'm saying? So if you're doing that, don't just listen. Guarantee that they are sent. So tonight, pray that tomorrow all the ministers will be sent to me. Because Elijah was anointed, but he was only sent somewhere. So how can they preach except they be sent? I just said, what we have preached, our voice has gone into all the earth. How come they haven't obeyed? Paul said, get it. So then faith cometh. Which means the word they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with. So then, he said, get this. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema. That word that means faith cometh by hearing, and the hearing that is produced when the person says it back. In other words, the word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. This is the word of faith that we preach. So it is the person after he hears the message, who like the woman with the issue of blood now starts saying, if I will touch the hem of his garment, that is the person it will work for. Now, here is what I learned from the doctor. He said, if a person is losing balance, the fault can only be in three areas. The brain, the heart, or the inner ear. He said, the outer ear is meant for, hearing. The inner ear is meant for balance. Now, I got it. God showed me something. If you speak and somebody takes a tape and plays it back to you, does it sound like you? It doesn't. First time, in fact, it's very difficult to get me to hear my message because I'm always embarrassed. Is this how I sound? Is this? No. I don't sound like that. No one's going to do that kind of stuff. Please put it off. My wife knows once I enter the car, she's playing my message, you put it off. I don't like the way I'm sounding. Is this how I sound? Because it's different. You know why? Every time you speak, you hear with your inner ear. Every time somebody else speaks, you hear with your outer ear. So what people are saying won't affect the balance of your walk if you don't repeat it. Now, hear what I'm saying here. Death and life are in the power of your own tongue, not in the power of anybody's tongue. If you don't repeat it, it doesn't. So when the Bible says Abraham did not stumble, which means he didn't lose balance, it's because Abraham was calling himself. So the woman with the issue of blood kept her balance. Kept her balance. Because we're hearing with our inner ear. If I will just hear the, no matter what's happening, if I will, what governs your balance is your inner ear. What regulates what you hear with your inner ear is what you speak out of your lips. No matter what anybody says, if they tell you you will fail, the only way it will begin to affect you is that you say, they told me. Even if I come and meet you and say, Pastor Shola, can you imagine what he said to me? I will fail. Then my inner ear has heard it. But if I never repeat it in conversation, it never affects my balance. If he, listen to me, if he says to me you fail, and I repeat to myself every day, I'm a success in God, it doesn't. So you know what? Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, keep your balance. What you do is this. There's a table that is prepared before me here, and my conference is over. This is not. When others say there's a casting down, I say there's a lifting up. Are you going to say that? That is the secret to faith. The secret to faith is that what regulates your inner. So it says, he that worketh miracles is doing it by the hearing of faith. Do you get what we're saying? You get it? So the woman with the issue of blood, right, maintained her walk by saying, regardless of what Peter was saying, the apostle's word didn't affect her, because she said, if I. That's what she heard. She didn't hear if all of us. She heard, if I. Look, think about this. Multitudes are thronging on Jesus. You are not even asking Jesus for permission to touch him. You are so deep that Jesus himself doesn't know what you are doing. And you are convinced without the knowledge of Jesus, I will draw that power. These people heard things. That's where it starts. It's not my message. But let me say this here. Sometimes you look at it, you know, Christians say, you know, when I got born again, you know, I can see. If you can see, why did Paul pray that God will give you the spirit of wisdom, that the eyes of your understanding will be what? And why did he say so? You know, the Bible says that gospel will be if it hit, which means the good news concerning your situation. It says, I need 500,000. I don't know what's happening. It says it will be hid. It's hid to them that are lost. Them that are lost doesn't mean God doesn't know where you are. You are the one that doesn't know where you are. It says the reason is that that blindfold is still there. Let me tell you, when the Bible says it is hidden, if a gospel be hidden, then who are lost? In whom the God of this world, which means all the things Satan is doing is keep the blindfold. If he prays that the eyes of his understanding, he liquidates Satan. That word lost, let me tell you what it means in Greek. If our gospel be hid, it says, is hid to them whose conditions are deteriorating. It means if anybody's condition is deteriorating, he hasn't seen the light concerning it. That's what it means. So the woman with the issue of blood, the Bible says, grew worse. Nothing bettered. All that changed it on the outside was information from God. You get that information from God and keep it on your lips. Alright? That's why Jesus said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. Now, I'm going to quote a scripture here. And then I'll share the second medical thing I found out. It says this. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear, is that inner ear, to my sayings. Let them not depart out of your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health. That word health means medicine to their flesh. Now, what Solomon says is that the word of God works like medicine. So he says, this is how you take the word for it to work. Attend to it. Incline your ear. Don't let him depart. Keep them. Now, this is what a doctor told me. When we were talking about something, he said something, and I said, he's a pastor too. I said. If a person goes to meet a medical doctor, and he says, these are my symptoms. He says, okay, I've diagnosed it. Take this medicine. You know what he tells the person? Take 2 tablets, 3 times a day, for 5 days. After 5 days, come back. Take 1 tablet, all right, 2 times a day, for 2 days. After 7 days, come back. Now, why is he saying, take it, if you go and meet him, and he says, sir, after 5 days, he says, so what happened? He said, well, I took one the first day, and then I took the second one yesterday, it didn't work. He will tell you, it can never work. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen to this. If you say, well, I took six tablets the first day. Then I didn't take for 3 weeks. Then I took another 6. It will never work. There's a way you take the word of God that it will never work. Never. Listen, I want to show you why people have problems. Say it didn't work. Never. Now, this is what happens. The reason why they tell you, take 2, 3 times a day or 1, depending on it, is because once you put in a drug, the substance in that drug goes into the bloodstream. And it must remain at a constant minimal level in the blood for it to work over a period of time. Minimal level. So when they say take 2 in the morning, it starts to work in you. By afternoon, it wants to drop beneath that minimal level, take another 2 to raise it up. Then it goes by evening, it wants to drop again, take another 2 to take it up. When you are believing God for something, the word of God concerning that thing must be in your system at a minimal level. Hear what I'm saying? First time I met Dr. Creflodola, he sat me down. He said I was diagnosed. Listen, if you take the word of God and you confess it, 45 times today, and then you left it, and you say, you know, some people say we are believing God for something, and they remember every 2 weeks. Do you get what I'm saying? You leave it. Then after 3 weeks, you remember. Okay, I'm believing God. He told me. He said, I was told that I have cancer at the 4th stage. It is terminal, and it's aggressive. What that means is you have months to live. He looked at me in the eye. He said, Pastor, there was no waking moment of the day I did not do something in faith to push it out of my system. Which means, said, I had to use aggression. That's the word of God concerning it had to enter my system. I had to maintain it at a high level because the word is working. Do you get what I'm saying here? And if you drop the word to a particular level, it doesn't operate. Let me tell you what happens. If you are pushing for something with the word of God, and you wake up and there's anxiety, it means the level of the word has dropped. It is a spiritual sign. Pump the word in up. Because the Bible says, great peace will they have whose mind is stayed. Once you lose, that's what Paul was saying, that think on these things, which means keep the word level. So, it's not something, look, if a pastor says, I want to grow my church, you have to be aggressive. It so mightily grew, the word then prevailed. So mightily is the medicine in the system, and then it knocks it out. Alright? You can't be, you know, I heard somebody, chairman of Fox News, the founder, he died yesterday. I asked him, what's your interview? He just said it. He said, when we were building Fox, that's the only thing I was thinking about. I thought about nothing else but Fox News. When you are on the word, you meditate only on the word. Do you understand this? Your delight is only on those scriptures. If you leave it and come, it won't work. Are you following what I'm saying? In fact, after some time, resistance can develop. So let me close with this. Stay the word at this level. All right? Sit down and let the word of God abide. Keep it on your lips. Like Pastor Shola said, in meditation. Meditation is an audible process. It's not a skin process. Are you following what I'm saying here? That's why it starts by saying, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate. So if it doesn't depart out of your mouth, which means it must constantly be in your mouth, and then it tells you to meditate, it means that keeping it in your mouth must be part of meditation, because it must never depart from your mouth. It's an audible process. Bishop Kit Butler said something I'll never forget. The Bible wasn't written to be read silently. Silently. Listen, the process only begins when you start. So when that woman was going and saying, if I would just touch, she was meditating. Right? And that's the way you keep your heart. That's the way you keep the word in your system. All right? That's the way you maintain the flow of the word of God on the inside of you. So it's an audible process. How do you do it? We need to teach this. You sit down with the word of God and you start reading the word of God out. You can practice this. Very powerful thing. You might at the beginning find uncomfortable to do because you're used to just silently. So you know some scriptures. So you start reading it out to yourself in the room. Start reading out the promise of God to yourself in the room. Start reading out the scriptures. Start reading out the scriptures. In the Hebrew language, look, the word was never. Don't admit Jews, they don't read silently. They're in their synagogues and they're bopping, they're doing this. You know why? The only way you can be fully engaged in something if it's coming out of your mouth. How do I know? All right, I tell everybody here, let's start counting to 25. Let's start in our minds. And we start 1, 2. And then I say, tell me your name. Whatever you are thinking stops when you say your name. So you can sit down with this word. As you are listening to me now, you might be thinking about the noodles you want to go and eat. Do you understand? The fact that you are looking at me doesn't mean. The fact that you are looking at the Bible doesn't mean you are thinking about the Bible. But let me tell you something. If you are saying it, your mind has no choice than to be zeroed in. That's why Jesus said, take no thought saying. You take a thought when you voice out. So you take the thoughts in God's word when you start giving voice to it. So sit down. And I'll close with this. Before you pray about anything, get the scriptures concerning those things and say it out loud to yourself for 15 minutes. Remember, the Bible says we can come in boldly by the blood, by a new and living way that has been consecrated through his flesh. In other words, the gate is opened. He says, but when you are coming, come with the full assurance of faith. The gate has been opened, but come in the full assurance of faith. And the meaning of that, he went down, he says, hold fast your confession without wavering, for faithful is he that promised. Which means if you've wavered in your confession, even though the gates are open, you won't make that contact. That's why he says, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from believing God. So take the scriptures and declare the scriptures to yourself. And then enter into the place of prayer. And during the day, if you have 15 minutes, sit with those scriptures, just repeat them to yourself. Inject them into your system to raise it up. At night, if you want to pray at night, repeat the scriptures again in meditation there. And repeat it for 15 minutes. Build and then pray. All right? And keep your consciousness that when you to you, when you sleep, you dream it. Are you following what I'm saying here? That's the message of the word. It says, this book of the law, it says, what is the word of faith we are preaching? The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth, and inside your heart. That is the word of faith that we pray. Let us rise to our feet.